Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for your sweet presence here today. And Lord, I ask you for your help and your anointing as we share this word. Lord, I believe it's a timely word. It's a rhema word for this church, for this time. I'm convinced, Lord, that it may even be a cornerstone of the future of this church. This word today may indeed be a prophetic cornerstone of this church. I ask you for your help, Lord, your power to anoint me in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
And open our ears, Lord. Today I want to talk to you about two building programs in the house of God. All right? Now, everybody knows about the 2020 vision for our new building next door. Pastor Angela talked about it. So today we're going to go into construction mode. The title of this message is Builders with God. Amen. Builders together with God. There are two building programs. How many of you know that? We have two building programs in this church. One, you already know much about. It's the physical building that we're trying to establish. We have 2.4 acres of property here. We can accommodate about 325 people, which would be more than twice what we have now. And we can accommodate over 10,000 square feet of building. Yes. That could be a good-sized facility, yes. And it will be a center for God's work.
Amen.
But the Lord reminded me this week that there is another building program that is even more critical, more essential, and that is the spiritual house that we are becoming.
Yes.
The house that God said he wanted to build us into as individual parts of the body of Christ. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 to 22 says it this way. Ephesians 2, 21 and 22. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Amen.
So did you know that you are God's building project? And we together as a church becoming knit together, block by block, relationship to relationship, we are part of a holy dwelling for God.
Amen.
And God is both building it, and we are also helping him to build. I'm going to show you in just a minute from Scripture. We are literally building with God.
Amen.
We are builders together with God. He is building us into a temple, but he asked us to help him build. Do you get it? I want to say it again. He's building us into a holy dwelling for his glory,
yes.
But he's asking us to help him to build
Amen.
As well.
Yes. Yes.
He uses us to be co-laborers with him. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just in case you want scripture on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 8 to 10. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Watch this. For we are God's fellow workers, laborers together with God, the King James Version says. We are God's fellow workers, laborers together with God. You are God's field. You are God's building. Okay, so that's the part he's building us, right? Now watch the rest of it. According to the grace which has been given me, Paul the Apostle is speaking, I have been a wise master builder. Paul was probably one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. He built churches everywhere he went, not physical buildings, but the body of Christ wherever he went. So I have been a wise master builder. I have laid a foundation, and another builds on it. Now watch this. But let each one take heed how he builds.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not the sharpest tool in the tool shed, but to me that says that God is looking to see how all of us are going to contribute to the building of his house. I'm going to say it again. Let each one take heed how he builds.
Yes.
We are building up the temple. In Sunday school, we used to sing a song, building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. Brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Building up the temple. It was a simple little nursery rhyme. But what a profound truth. We are both being built into a holy dwelling for God. So sitting in this building right now, which incidentally is a very fragile and temporary building, we have two buildings. We have a physical building, and then we also have the ongoing building of the people of God, the house of God, the household of faith. All of us being built together for a holy dwelling that God can manifest to the whole world. We are fellow workers building together the spiritual house of God, person by person and person to person. So we are reaching one person at a time, adding them to the fellowship, and then we're asking those people to reach somebody else. So it's one person at a time, person to person, and then person adding another person. Amen? Amen? Person by person and person to person. Notice it does not say we are fellow spectators. We are fellow workers. Is anybody still with me here? It doesn't say we are fellow spectators. It doesn't say we are fellow guardians of the status quo. Well, we never did it that way before. This is not like my grandpa's church. Well, it's not. Don't get me started, Gloria. All right, don't get me started. Pastor Henry and Gloria, get me going. There are a lot of good things about my grandpa, who was a man of God and was actually an apostle, started several churches in Europe. But the way we do church today has to be relevant to our culture. You know, they didn't have cell phones back then. They didn't have internet. They didn't have social media. There's so many different things. We have to utilize every method. Paul said, by all means that I might win some. By all methods. Methods are okay to change, but we don't change the message. You can change the method, but you don't change the message. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you have an active part to play. Say, wake up. You have an active part to play. We are not guardians of the status quo. We are fellow workers with God. So, what is your assignment? Assignments may change, but your calling never changes. Every one of you is called to build in some way. You might say, little old me? Yes, little old you. Everyone has a part to play. In God's eyes, none of us are unnecessary. Everyone is unique. Say, I am special in God's eyes. I'm unique. I can't do what Pastor Angela does. She cannot do what I do. Each of us has a specific spiritual DNA. Did we read this one yet? Ephesians 4:16? Okay, we're getting to it now. Ephesians 4:16. He, Christ, makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I love that verse. I want to say it again. He, that is Christ, makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow. Amen. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen. That's God's plan. Amen. It's a beautiful vision. It's His master plan that we might all be part of His kingdom, that we might all be part of the church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Each of us has a part to play, a function, a ministry. Hallelujah. None of us are unnecessary. None of us are called to be spectators. Right. It's time to get off the bench and onto the field. Hallelujah. It's time to... Let me share a word for somebody here this morning. Your assignment may have changed, but that doesn't make you any less called. You know, I've been assigned in different ministries. Most of my life in ministry, I have been an assistant pastor, an associate pastor. I've been a team member. And I'm okay with that. Because I have learned that God works through teams. God is not looking for Steve Stunning to run into, ride into town and do it all by himself. You know, it's like that person is yelling at God. I saw this poor lady yelling, I don't need any man. I don't need anybody. I don't need anything. I was like, well, what are you doing in church? We need each other. Turn to your neighbor. We need each other. Say something. 1 Corinthians 12:27. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Look at the scripture. Let's say it out loud. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So with the help of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, we are building his church. We are a spiritual habitation. We are a spiritual house. Are you with me today?
Amen.
We are responsible as leaders, as mature believers, for the condition of this church.
Yes.
The pastor, of course, the council, the leaders, but every one of us are responsible. Every one of us are called to be builders. Every one of us called to be disciple makers. Jesus didn't say, all you pastors, go out into the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. He said, everyone, go. Go, all of you, and make disciples of all nations. Teach them to observe what I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Together, all of us are responsible for the health of this church. Wow. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are part of this assembly. And you, along with everybody else, are responsible for the health of this church. Together we are building deep, wide, high, quality, health. All of that depends on how carefully we build and whether we build with sincerity and we build with the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of slick methods out there. You can buy books on the latest method on how to get quick church growth, but I found that the Bible has the best method. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God said he appointed apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? For the building up of the assembly, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of God.
Amen. Amen. That's what we believe.
Which leads to my next point. How does this all work? How does it work? Thank you for asking. Are we sure we're getting this right?
Yes.
Be careful how you handle the bride.
Yes.
Be careful how you treat God's house. But it all has to do with relationships. How does this work? How does it work? How does God build? God always builds. And there's a lot you could say about the building of God's spiritual house. But I want to leave you with this today. Relationships. Very important. God-given relationships. Loving relationships. Honoring one another. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Relationships that are focused on the same goal. Like a team of basketball players. All focused on the national championship. They operate like a finely tuned machine. They are one. There's not one show off that gets the ball and runs off with it, doesn't pass the ball. Come on now. They'll never make the national championship that way. We are a world-class team. Hallelujah. We're called to win. Hallelujah. God's going to have himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. But it's going to happen if we're all working together.
Amen.
And we're all doing our part.
Amen. Amen.
And that takes relationships. You know, you can't be like the man who said, you know, Lord, I love you so much. And I'm so in love with you, Jesus. I wish I could stay on my knees like this all the time. These people you have created are such a distraction. They're so annoying. You know, I love God except for all the people he created. They're so annoying. You cannot say you love God and hate your brother. Come on now. Because we're made in God's image. Relationships where we love one another. Relationships where we honor one another above ourselves. Not worried about who gets the credit. Have you ever been around insecure people? They're always worried about getting the credit for something. It's like, and I've done it myself. So don't think, you know, I'm just preaching at you. I've done this myself. I've had my wife point out to me, honey, you think you're acting a little insecure right now? And I said, you're probably right. And she has too. It takes a lot of love. But you got to get your eyes off yourself. If we're going to be the house that God built, we have to be outwardly focused. If I'm just focused on me, myself, and I, come on now. If I'm just focused on me, myself, and I, the work's not going to get done. It's going to take a stretching. It's going to take a sacrifice. You know, the Bible says new wine cannot be put in old wineskins. Why is that? Because the old wineskins like a piece of leather that's gotten dry and stiff. Yes. It's stiff and it can break. God wants to do something fresh and new. God forgive us for making Christianity boring. When you have young people by the droves leaving the churches, by the millions, sometimes it's not their fault. It's because we have made a religion out of Christianity when it's supposed to be a lifestyle. It's supposed to be a living organism. It's supposed to be vibrant and full of love and full of life. Hallelujah. Where everybody, not just two or three, you know, talented people, but everybody has a part. Everybody does something. Your success is my success. When you become all that God meant you to be, I'm a happy camper. Hallelujah. I'm a happy man. I'm not jealous of that. I'm happy when you succeed. Everyone has a part to play. And under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we are focused around one vision and one mandate that we are to make, first of all, to reach out to people and then make disciples of Jesus, followers of Christ, not followers of ourselves. When you have worked with somebody and loved somebody and they fall in love with Jesus, you have done your job. Amen. See, if they just love you and they don't love Jesus, you haven't done your job. There's a mistaken focus. The focus has got to be on Jesus. So we are to make followers of Christ. And you are to reach out to people, even within the church. There are people who attend here who are brand new and need encouragement, and they need somebody to teach them. So we need to reproduce what we have in other people. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which you have heard from me, in the Paul says to Timothy, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. So pass it on. Influence people around you, in the church and out of the church. You know, there's such a thing as in-reach and outreach. You know, you say, well, I never heard of in-reach ministry. That meant that we made sure that everybody who's in the church was developing as a Christian, was growing. They had an opportunity. That's why we're having these small groups, so that we can be sure to have relationships. Maybe you're sitting here, you don't even have two or three friends in the church. You don't maybe have even one friend. That's why we're having the small groups. So we can build together. We can get to know each other. We can work together. Philippians 4:9, Paul says again, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, Paul was saying, follow me as I follow Jesus. You've seen what my life is like. Now, I'm going to be a role model for you. And that's a very highly responsible thing, isn't it? Right? For you to be a role model to the people around you. What if the world had, everybody else in the world was exactly like you? Think about that for a second. At first, it sounds good. I wish everybody in the world would be like me. It sounds good at first. But can you imagine how boring and how irritating that would be? What's the difference between a pile of bricks and a beautiful building? What's the difference between a pile of bricks? You ever see a construction site? They come and they drop off all the materials, right? But then you see an army of workers coming along, and they're all working together. They have something called the blueprint. Hallelujah. There's a blueprint. And they're all following the same blueprint. The blueprint was developed by the owner and the architect. We have a blueprint. It's called the Bible. Hallelujah. We have a vision. It's called the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, and Jesus said, that the kingdoms of this world will pass away. We're not just living for this life. We're living for the life to come. We're not here just for ourselves. We're here to build up his house and for his glory. This is going to take a lot of maturity. It's going to take a lot of sacrifice. But if you work together as a team, amen, the bricklayer and the people who lay the struts and the frame and the beams and the foundation, it all different specialists. The plumbing is a specialist, the electrical, the HVAC is the air conditioning guys, and then there's the roofer. All those people take a pile of building materials working together, and within a few months, you see this beautiful building. How did that happen? Imagine if the carpenter said, hey, we don't need you guys, you plumbers. We don't need you. What if the electrical said, we don't need the plumbers? What if the roofer said, we don't need anybody. We're just going to build a roof on this plot of ground by itself. We all need each other. Building up the temple. Brother, will you help me? Sister, will you help me? Romans chapter 12. There are different gifts and different abilities that God gives us. Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving, serve well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take it seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. We are all needed in the body of Christ. There are other lists, too, of spiritual gifts. Some say 19, some say 20. But the key is that the gifts need to be submitted to God and to one another. You know, I've been in the ministry many years, and I have known people who are very gifted, but they were not team players. They didn't get it. They didn't understand that we've got to do this together. We've got to submit to one another out of respect for Christ. I want to demonstrate this with my dear wife here, if we could just have you come up for a second. You know, each of us are individuals, so I want you to imagine letters in the alphabet, right? So hold this a second.
Okay.
So we each have individuality, right? But I can't just do this by myself. So now I want you to see this.
What letter does that remind you of?
M.
Letter M. You got it right. Hallelujah. And that refers to mutuality. So we have individuality, and we also have mutuality. There are things we need to do individually, but there are also things that I can't do without my wife. And that you can't do without your brother and sister. Amen, amen. There's a lot of things I don't get right. Hallelujah. But we are builders together. So you have individuality. And this is good for marriage counseling, by the way. Married couples. The reason sometimes marriages are in such conflict, because they don't understand there's got to be harmony between individuality and mutuality. That's a good point to talk about. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. In a healthy church like this, you have encouragers, you have prayers, you have people who testify, you have people who open their home, sharing hospitality, you have givers, you have volunteers, you have teachers and prayers and all of this working together. We are meant to do life together. Now, it doesn't mean that we form a Christian clique or a Christian ghetto. We still need to be reaching out to the world, right? But we need to be growing healthy so that when the world comes to see what we have here, they're going to be inspired by it, and they're going to want what we have, right? Why would you want to invite somebody to a church that's dead and just a bunch of gossipers and divided and a bunch of religious? You wouldn't do it, right? Come on now. But what if we had a church like this? We have one person. Come on down here, honey. We're doing a lot of illustrations today. Okay, now I'm going to put my hat back on.
Got it?
Right, right. So what if we had a church like this where one person encourages, is an encourager, and they encourage. Okay, Maria, would you get up and take Pastor Angela's hand? Now we have somebody who likes to open their home. Brother Angel, would you get up, please? We have somebody who likes to worship and help us get close to God. We have Gloria, would you get up over here, who likes to encourage her pastor.
Yes, sir.
And praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have Tommy, who likes to be a prayer warrior. Amen. All right. All right. We have Jordan, who's going to be an influence on the young people in this church. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have Lourdes, who likes helping with the children's ministry.
And the office.
And the Connection Center. And then we have Steve, who helps with communion. Every time you see communion up here, we have Steve Huggins. That come on, Steve, you're part of this team. And T, who helps us in our financial ministry. Come on, T. Who else do we have? Come on, help me, honey. We have Carolyn, yes, another one for our financial ministry. We have teachers who help with the children. If you're a teacher, volunteer. Come on up for a second. All right? If you're a youth volunteer, we have Marie, Dell. We have ushers. If you're an usher, come on and grab somebody here. Come on. If you like to do graphics, yes, Nikki, come on up here. Hospitality, usher. Brother Lanre, come on. Come on, brother. You're the head usher here. We have a worship dance team. Come on. We have a media department. Come on, I need somebody from the media department to come up. Yes, yes, we have some home group leaders like Brother Andrew, Seth, and Regina who open their home. We have the council members, Jason and Donna. Where's Donna? Donna Pasco and Matthew, all right? Are you starting to get the idea? Oh, wait, just a second. We're not quite finished. Women of purpose. Where's Kamalita? No, come on up, sister. Come on up. Wait a second. Pastor Angel's helping me preach right now. All right, watch this one. You invited somebody to church. Where are you? Come on, get up right now. You invited somebody at one point in your life. You invited somebody to this church. Come on. Come on. You invited somebody to church. Are you starting to see the big picture? All right. This is... How many of you have given to this church financially? Get up, everyone, get up. Come on, get up. If you haven't given anything to the church, I'm closing my eyes right now. All right. How many of you get the picture? We are building together. God is building a spiritual house, but we are helping him build. Give God a hand of praise. You can go back to your seat. Go team, yes. Amen. Jesus is the master builder. He's the architect. He's the owner. It's really, this hat should say Jesus. It really should say Jesus.
Yes.
But I want you to get a picture. Not one of you here today is unnecessary.
Amen.
Your presence here means something. I, at the risk of being repetitive, I want to say this again. Do not give in to the lie of the devil that your life is not counting. Your life doesn't count. You have a unique quality in your life that nobody else has. Your contribution to this body is so important, even if it's just picking up a phone and calling somebody. Or I know one person who liked to bake me special bread. I won't mention any names, not right now, but I'm looking at her right now. Whatever it might be. Whatever it might be, just, slapping somebody in the back saying, brother, did you know I was praying for you this week? I was thinking about you. It's not the size of the gift. It's the love that's behind it. Everything's got to be done out of love. Everything. And the love is what holds the building together. Let's stand together.